Coming up on TMS, people should watch Mud.
Let's go on an adventure.
All men in North Korea want to have the most styling haircuts of all time.
What would drive you to pepper spray your law professor?
Pepper Potts is out of the marriage business.
The creator of Teddy Ruxpin is out for the count.
Therapy Thursday.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The Kenneth Anister family of Queens Village, New York, preferred new Pepsodent on every single count. Mrs. Anister says,
my children, Jack and Nancy, think Pepsodent is the grandest toothpaste they ever tried, simply because it tastes so good. And my husband and I are convinced that Pepsodent cleans breath better, makes teeth brighter than any toothpaste we have ever used.
And family after family agree with the Anisters. Yes, with families who made comparison tests. Pepsodent won by 3-1.
I've purposely arranged this chair so that you can see out the window.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream, the sugar and cream in your coffee. Aww.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Stream.
Oh, my.
Yeah, see? That's what I say. That's what I'm telling you. It's Thursday, March 27th, 2014. I come to you with a somewhat limp wrist this morning. Not in the stereotypic jerky 80s way of saying someone has a limp wrist.
That's right.
I have a limp wrist because I played way too much Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Brian, look, I know that I know you're kind of a middle of the road kind of Diablo guy. It's like, yeah, it's cool.
I liked it. It's not my favorite. You know what? If you put all of the Blizzard games, you line them up.
Yeah.
Now I love Blizzard. I love everything they do.
Right.
It would be the game I enjoy the least out of all the Blizzard games, but that's not to say that I don't like it.
Sure.
Because I love Hearthstone. I love World of Warcraft, although the Raid team probably would disagree. They'd probably be surprised to hear me say that. Like, oh yeah, you love it. Why don't you show up once in a while?
How about you come in here and play?
Yeah. I'd love another real-time strategy, another Warcraft 3 or another StarCraft 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, not another StarCraft 2. We've got a StarCraft 2. But,
well, you got one of those coming. You got your Void of the Legacy of the Void coming eventually at some point.
Oh, right. The next...
Third expansion deal.
Yeah. Expansion campaign deal, yeah.
Anyway. I know what you're saying. I mean, it's a higher level of gaming, and so even your least favorite Blizzard game is probably better than your average game out there.
Right, exactly.
My list has switched around a little bit, and Diablo's always been at the top of that list. I mentioned that yesterday, but I beat the fifth act, which is what comes with this expansion, and when you do that, you unlock something called Adventure Mode. Mm-hmm. And Adventure Mode is the devil itself. Because here's what it is, Brian. Here's the problem with previous Diablo games, including Diablo 3. When you beat the game and the single player extent of the game, you would, the story bits, or you play with more people, I guess, but whatever. You beat that bit, and then you're kind of like, all right, well, now just keep going and leveling and doing that story again and getting loot and stuff, but just keep doing the same story. You know, and that put some people off. That's always been the way of the game. But, you know, in a modern era, perhaps we expected more. Maybe even because Blizzard has shown so much prowess in endgame thinking with WoW. So we thought, you know, maybe this should be better. And I kind of agreed, you know, let's see what they do. Adventure mode turns this whole thing on its frickin' ear.
Really?
Yes, because here's what it is. It's endgame for Diablo. And you literally get done, go to town, Tyrael's hanging out there, doing his whatever, and you talk to him, hey, what's going on? So here's the deal. We got a bunch of other jobs for you if you want to do it. And then you hit the map button, and now there are quests all over the world that are totally random, totally weird, you know, kill.
So it's the same kind of randomness that the rest of the game is, like where every time you launch, it's going to be something different kind of thing.
Yeah, as best I can tell, yeah. And I'm not totally sure how it works because I did clear out an area, and I wonder if that repopulates the next day. But when I logged in as a different character, it's a totally different setup. But here's the thing. It might hover over one and it'll say, find Lord Crotch Button's hidden gold chest. Or kill...
I hate Lord Crotch Buttons.
Kill one of them is kill the elder cheese or whatever. It's they're not names like that, but they're real names.
No, but it really reminds me how much I'd really like for you to design a video game.
I know, I would ruin it.
Go kill Pixel Dink McGillicuddy.
Pixel Dink McGillicuddy is a great name. In fact, that's the name of the whole game. But anyway, you go and you go to these things, and it's like there might be a subquest involved, kill 150 minions, but also, which seems like a lot, but actually you rip through them real quick.
Yeah.
But also do this major thing you got to do. When you're done, you get a bunch of gold, a ton of XP, and you're still leveling. You're getting Paragon levels, and you're getting loot. It was the important thing, and you're doing it at whatever difficulty setting you want to have this thing on. And you can do this with friends or by yourself. And it's a never-ending pit of new stuff to do. Hmm. Instead of, I've seen this part before, it's, right. Oh, well, I've been in this part of the city before, but I never did this before. You know, it's that kind of thing. So the grind is less of a grind. And without the auction house and all the other crap, you're getting real badass loot. Like, amazing drops, incredibly hard fight that will end in you getting a ton of stuff that you're going to just, you know, hug your grandma for. It's so good. And it's so addicting. Here's the biggest surprise of it. I knew all this was coming. All right. So I knew it was going to be there. I didn't know how good it'd be. That's really good. And this kept me going for hours. The other thing I didn't expect is all your lower level characters, including like just your level one dude, you just start out with fresh, like the new, the Crusader. Mm-hmm. That's all he has to do if you want. He doesn't have to go through the whole story to get to this adventure mode.
Once you've popped the seal.
Yeah, all of them get it. So I can level him in his entirety, and he'll go do a mission and level three times during one mission. Like, it's fantastic. And he's getting gear he would never get in the story mode, or at least I think it would come out differently. Certainly in the old game it would have. It's ridiculous. They have got me by the short hairs here.
Nice.
This game. Way to go, Blizzard. Way to turn that around.
All right, Diablo 3. I'm giving it, not really giving another chance because I know I like it, but
you're really going to like it.
Rediscover it. Refall in love with Diablo 3.
Yeah. Now, the only hitch is you do have to beat Diablo once. Well, you have to beat Act 5 once. Everything has to be beaten once, and then it's all just open free for all.
All right, that's it. I'm out.
And it's totally worth it, though.
It's too much work.
It's totally worth it because that story is worth seeing through. Like, it really is worth seeing through to the end. Yeah. It may not be worth seeing three times, which was my point.
Yes.
Because the third time through, you're like, ugh. Yeah. But that's how it used to be. Anyway, so there's that. That's going on. That's a fun thing. Also, a recommendation. We sometimes make film recommendations here on the morning stream, the podcast for the morning time. And
the video game podcast for the rest of it.
Exactly. Do you hear that, Twitch? You hear all that Diablo talk?
Hope you guys no kidding. That should make them happy.
I was on the treadmill doing the daily whatever there on the treadmill there.
Sure.
And I watched Mud. We've been talking about Mud a little bit with the Matthew McConaughey and the
theme song by Primus, right?
No. Jerry was a race car driver, though, is what I
My name is Mud.
So I didn't really know what to expect other than critics had fawned over that thing and freaked out and said it was the greatest thing ever. And I just thought, well, I just need to watch it and see. And it showed up on Netflix. It's a new release. So I started watching it. That might be, I know I'm a lot of hyperbole today, but that might be one of my favorite recent movies in the last 10 years.
Really?
I loved it. And I don't want to blow everyone's expectations out of proportion because I want you to discover it in the way I did, which is kind of low key, but I'm a sucker for Southern stories anyway. If something's set in the South and it's kind of a more quiet, independent look at things, I'm all in on that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I find that a fascinating kind of, interesting character studies. I mean, I'll even admit to being a fan of rom-coms in that vein, like, you know, your Steel Magnolias or your Fried Green Tomatoes. I even like those movies.
Tawanda.
I mean, part of the reason I like Shawshank is it's set in that kind of area and tone.
And despite it not being in the South, I think you'd really like Nebraska for that reason. Did you see Nebraska?
Yeah. No, I haven't. But I think you're right. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Same sort of. What's it? It's the non-glamorous side of real life that I really am attracted to that. So. It's a revelation to me, this movie. I just loved it. I loved every second of it. Stand By Me, big deal for us as kids, right?
Mm-hmm, totally.
Growing up. This feels like Stand By Me for another generation. I'm not sure that generation has seen it, though, because it's again, low key, hard to find. Well, now it's on Netflix, but you know, it wasn't like a giant release in theaters or anything.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's no Dallas Buyers Club.
No. But it's, I liked it better than that in terms of his performance. I know it's a different movie, but I loved it. It's about this kid. He's 14, him and his buddy, kind of a coming of age story. They find McConaughey on an island. Hilarity ensues. Actually, no hilarity really ensues much. It's not really a funny movie. But it's just got some really sweet moments, some really hard moments, some really make you think moments. The best way I could describe it is simply complicated, if that makes any sense to anybody out there. I loved it. Loved it.
It's got Joe Don Baker. How can you go wrong?
He's
and
a
Michael
bastard.
Shannon from, whatchamacallit?
Everything.
Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, he's Zod in the new Superman.
Right.
He's great. It's a very small role for him, and he does other stuff with that director, so it's not his first time to the... Remember the movie he did where he was... it was called Take Shelter or something?
Yes. Yeah. Something like that, where there was a tornado, right?
Or he was paranoid about it or whatever, and it was more of a study of schizophrenia than it was about, you know, shelters. But anyway, he's the same director, same writer-director, so those guys are buddies, and they're in everything each other does, so... he was great, but a very small role for him again. And then this kid, who's the main kid, Ellis, that kid needs, I don't know what he needs. He needs to be hugugged by a generation. He's really good.
He needs to be embraced by a generation.
Yes, he needs to get the Dakota Fanning Award of Child Acting Excellence. He was fantastic in it.
Okay, it has now been added to my queue.
All right, please watch it. I think you'll really like it. Your sensibilities, I think, are similar to mine. You like a good independent effort, you know?
I totally do. Less about the South, but more like that sweetness, that Shawshank Redemption.
Yes,
Stand By Me, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's totally in there. And a lot of people are like, it's kind of disappointed. What'd you want, a car chase? I mean, it's not that kind of movie. It isn't the feel-good hit of the summer. It isn't the action-packed epic of, you know, this isn't a Transformers movie. This is for us to slow down, calm down, and listen kind of movie. And I think you'll really like it. And there's really not much, it's for families and kids out there, there's really not much to be offended about here. These are 14-year-olds, though, and they like to drop the occasional S-bomb and act like punks, but it's not like, there ain't no nudity, and there ain't no F-bombs, and there ain't no all right in it.
Well, now I'm not so sure. I'm hovering over that remove from list button now.
And he's so good in it. He's so good. And he's not even the starring role of this thing. You'd think he is, but he kind of isn't. He lets everyone else breathe. It's really good. Yeah. I'm beyond stoked that it exists, and I can't wait to watch it again. I'm going to watch it with
Iceworm, my kids. Iceworm chimes in and says, my cousin Vinny is a great example of a Southern movie. And while I concur, I would say March of the Penguins is the ultimate Southern movie.
That's right. They keep the egg under his belly.
That penguin marched through a mile of penguin shit and came out clean with an egg on the other side.
On the other side. Damn it, Andy.
That was the first day I met Andy Dufresne.
Recommended. I can't say enough about it. I just loved it. All right. Well, that's it with that. This is freaking geez. Let's
get off of the praise.
Yeah, let me get started reading this wall of text for the introduction to the Stump a Trek Nerd segment.
Yeah, this is a big gosh. I didn't realize how big this paragraph was. All right, well, you'll enjoy doing that. Let's bring Daryl in. Let's do it with charm with this. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Grand Slam Wrestling's Kicking It for Joe event, a huge benefit wrestling event to raise money for medical bills to help Joe Freshen, a brave 10-year-old boy battling bone cancer. Please come on down and help us support this great cause. The event will be held at the Nanticoke Armory in Nanticoke, Pennsylvania, Saturday night, April 26th at 7 p.m. Come see former WWE superstar Matt Stryker, notable independent talents such as Chuck Taylor, Orange Cassidy, and Frog Pants' favorite wrestler, Joey Image. Again, that's April 26th, 7 p.m., Nanticoke Armory in Nanticoke, Pennsylvania. Can't make it to the show live, but still want to help 10-year-old Joe? Just visit gswrestling.com and click the donate button on the bottom right. Thank you, and we hope to see you there.
Big one, but that's great. That's a cool cause, man.
Yeah, it's too bad I retired the echo on the soundboard because...
That
would have been a good one to use for that.
Well, 2015's around the corner. We'll bring it back. Hey, this just in. Amazon tells me, this is how I know my wife has bought things on Amazon.
Yeah.
Your package, yeah, your package with adult morph suit bodysuit has been shipped.
Is she doing some cosplay at Nurtacular?
Well, that's what I thought for a minute.
A morph suit.
But now that I think about it, I think it's Nick. He's got something he's supposed to do, and he wants a morph suit for it. So I think that's
awesome. Those morph suits are hilarious.
Those are expensive, aren't they? Those morph suits, honey. How much
they
you pay for that morph suit? I just put her on the spot because she just showed up at my table. Thanks, dear. Ooh, look at breakfast. Wow.
It's like $40 to $50.
Thanks, honey. Yeah, they're like $50. Yeah.
Yeah. Did she go to Taco Bell and get you new breakfast?
No, she did not.
Oh.
What? His morph suit? Oh, so you get a year of morph suit for 3 years of morph suit for one $50 morph suit purchase.
Well, as long as he doesn't grow that much in 3 years, yeah. That's the estimate.
Yeah. Oh, that's because he got bigger, right? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Daryl, speaking of bigger. How you doing, man? What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you glue Oreos to your face and your head and take a picture of it like you promised?
No, I didn't do that.
Oh.
Damn it. I wanted to see that. I guess we'll have to wait for another time. I threw away the Rice Krispie ones that were left because those were killing me. I couldn't eat any more of those. They were seriously causing me to have problems.
I ate exactly one. And I have not increased that number, and I ate exactly one of the chocolate chip, but the neighbors have come over, and they've sampled them, and Tina sampled them, and Tristan sampled them, so.
Yeah, Tristan's now in a Oreo coma over there.
It's really, that's actually why he's zonked out over there, is because he's in a sugar coma.
Makes perfect sense to me. Daryl, it's time for Star Trek trivia. That's what you do. You come on the show. You answer questions that are related to Star Trek, the venerable science fiction franchise. And we see how you do. We grade you based on your answer. And then we move on with our damn lives. So here's your question. In the original series episode, The Return of Akrons. Is that right?
The Return of the Archons.
Oh, The Return of the...
The R comes before the K.
Oh, okay. Got it. Oh, yeah.
The Akrons. Return to Akron.
Some guy... We got a neurologist sent me an email yesterday saying that my new eye surgery combined with the way my brain thinks may cause me to mess words up. He thinks that might be possible. He called it.
Really?
He called it super flatcha something dyslexic donkey turd or something.
Of
it was
course,
some
yeah,
long
I've heard,
word.
Actually, I've heard of that. Yeah. It was on WebMD.
It was, right?
It was big flashing red text. You may have what you just said.
Take this test to find out if you've got.
Can you see this text? You might have it.
You may have it. You may harve it. So anyway, the Enterprise is observing a planet. They have a scouting party on the planet looking around. Sulu is part of the scouting party. What is the name of the man who is working with Sulu? Is it O'Neill?
Yeah.
Is it Harrison?
Oh, I got maybe. My mind set on you.
Is it Grant?
Mr.
Grant. We're thinking of all these here. And then Daniels. Well, he's the guy that got hit in the head with a brick in Home Alone, right? Jeff Daniels? No. That's Dumb and Dumber.
That's Dumb and Dumber.
He had diarrhea in Aspen, Colorado. There you go.
Yes.
So O'Neill, Harrison, Grant, Daniels. I sense you may have a preference for one of those, so we'll wait and see you in a minute.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Let's test these little coffee-wrapped things, flavored.
Yeah.
These look good, and my wife's been picking at them for days, so we got to eat them now. I haven't tried one yet.
There's still one left.
Foley work. These are Cafe Rio. That's funny because we have a restaurant here called Cafe Rio, and that first jumped out and bugged me.
Now, did you guys get just the individually wrapped things, or did they come in a big bag?
We got a single bag with a bunch of individually wrapped ones.
Oh, you got like a Ziploc. Yeah, I have the actual bag, the pure coffee, dairy cream coffee, Cafe Rio original roast. Provided again by Mary Heidenberg, Weird Tigger.
Yeah.
Serving size, about 4 pieces, 60 calories.
Goodness. Goodness gracious.
They're coffee caramels, lovingly crafted from pure premium ingredients, fresh dairy cream, milk, and real coffee.
All right. I'm going to take your word for it. So we're going to open these. Smell nice. Now, I'm not a... Okay, so you guys know this of me. I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't really care for it. Not interested in it. my...
Don't hold with it, bub.
And I have no... You know, like, if you said, here's some coffees, taste them and see which one you like the best, I would say, well, I don't like them all. They all taste like bitter turd to me, so I'm not interested. However, I've always had a taste for these candies that are coffee-flavored, like all these kinds of different kinds that are out there. There's the Werther's ones. I could eat a whole bag of those. So I don't know why that is. Must be the sugar, but...
Anyway. Did we just lose Daryl?
I don't know.
No, he's still there? No. Okay. You're just all carrying on, and I'm just right here.
Yeah, all right. I was worried because I saw your video screen disappear.
Oh.
Hey.
I don't know what happened. Hmm. Shatner's concerned.
Hey.
Should I admit what I've done?
If it isn't, yes, if you didn't,
you should now.
If you didn't kill a dude in Reno and bury his body somewhere, yes.
I've been eating these for days.
Oh. Well, great. I was the stalwart holdout. No, I kind of was tempted because I do, again, I like these, but I'm eating it now and it's really good. These are fine.
Yeah. It took me about 3 minutes for the flavor to kind of soak in and become really good.
Yeah, it takes a while for it to come off of that thing. Yeah,
after that, it was really good.
If you could take a Tootsie Roll and a Jolly Rancher, make them go on a date, have them get pregnant in the back of their Mustang...
And this would, by a Starbucks.
Yes, this would be the baby, I think. Because it's got the hardness at first of a Jolly Rancher. You don't want to bite too hard or you're going to break some teeth. But later, it's kind of Tootsie Roll-y.
This is a Tootsie Roll and a Jolly Rancher doing it in a Starbucks bathroom.
Yeah. That's the way
Well, I wouldn't say bathroom.
What would you say?
Luxury.
Doing it right in the middle of Starbucks?
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah. That works too.
Why not? Over there by the pastries nobody buys anymore. It's fine. It's good.
They're adding alcohol to the menu at Starbucks.
Shut up. Are you for real? And what? Is it like shots in your coffee kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh. Like a Kahlua and coffee kind of thing.
Really? I mean, can they? That's interesting.
Well, I think it's actually wine and beer is what they're really focusing on. It's not going to be your hard liquor.
That's hard because your liquor licenses vary wildly across the country. You'd have a hard time, and the world, really. So you'd have a hard time getting stuff nailed down in certain places. Like, there's parts of Pennsylvania where they won't even let you do that.
Right.
And there are other, parts of the world that are...
Well, I mean, here's the problem is that, Starbucks does probably 90% of their business between the hours of 6 a.m. and probably 2.
Yeah.
And so they need to do something to bring people in. In the afternoons and evenings, especially if it's one of those 24-hour Starbucks. So here's the thing that they're pulling in. They're going to pull people in to get liquored up at their Starbucks.
How do you feel about the guy who goes into a Starbucks, sits down on one of the little cushy couch things, and then uses Wi-Fi for the next 6 hours? How do you feel about that guy?
Well,
I don't like that guy.
Having worked for that guy and knowing that he did it to save the company some money, I'm all right with that.
Okay.
As long as he's buying coffee, I mean,
Well, what would a Starbucks be without those guys in there? You go in and it's just empty and that's no fun. You got to see those guys there.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel good about the popularity of Apple because a majority of those guys with those computers are on MacBooks. And Airs and stuff like that. I remember the picture of the guy who would actually bring his whole iMac rig.
Oh, my gosh. Starbucks. That's right. That was floating around for a while.
On Twitter or something. Yeah.
Which, if you think about it, is actually, if you're going to bring a whole computer, that's the one to bring because it's pretty standalone,
Right, exactly. You don't have to worry about a desktop machine like a CPU and then the separate monitor.
I should bring a doghouse in there.
You totally should. Have this crank that thing up.
And everything.
Hear that fan going, over the side. Exactly. That's awesome.
We'll drown out the sound of the barista.
Yeah, that's a pretty good. You did a good job there, right there.
Thanks. I've been to a few Starbucks. Actually, most Starbucks, it's actually a guy standing. That's a big empty metal box.
Yeah,
and they actually have the coffee already made, and they just poured out the little holes. But there's a guy who sits in that big metal box going.
Oh, I got it. He just makes that sound. You want the feel of
the experience. Sure.
Nobody really cares about the coffee.
I hope most people knew that. I hope I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not revealing any Starbucks spoilers.
Beady, beady, beady. All right, Daryl. That's the real Starbucks as far as I'm concerned. Why don't you share with us a birthday? Somebody besides Spock and Kirk must be celebrating.
You're getting your Buck Rogers and your Battlestar Galactic and your Tweaky all.
No, because you got Starbuck. Oh, no, you're right. Buck Rogers. What am I thinking? Yeah, that was stupid.
I'm thinking Tweaky.
Yeah. I should have said, get me the frack out of here. There you go.
That's a Wheel of Fortune. Oh, wait. Not Wheel of Fortune. Oh, yeah, Wheel of Fortune thing.
What is?
Starbuck Rogers.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, like a before and after.
Yeah.
Did you ever
yeah.
see that video clip of that guy? The word was, it was sand. The first word was sand. Last word, I think, was, it was going to be diggers, but it was missing the D.
No.
You have to see this. Totally... No, it's real. I'm not kidding you. This is so real. I got to find this. It is. Have you not seen it? It is really, really horrifyingly the most uncomfortable thing you've ever seen on TV. Wheel of Fortune. Clam digger, that's what it is. Clam digger. You got it. Okay, here you go. We'll play it.
No. All right. N.
Oh.
That's an awkward silence.
Dude. Added in there. That's that.
I think it's real. Some have said fake, but I think it's real. Is it fake? I want it to be real.
I think it's fake because that would never get out.
All right, there it is. I put it right there. So anyway, so Daryl, can you imagine that though? Oh my gosh, it'd be the worst thing ever. Daryl, let's go back. Let's go back in time. Oh no, birthdays. Who's celebrating a birthday? We didn't get to that.
Oh yeah, we didn't do that. Yeah. Saturday it will be Marina Sirtis's birthday.
Oh my god, look at all these like. Highfalutin Star Trek people having birthdays all within the same wow. 5 days. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
She'll be 59 and she's
what?
Feeling good.
She does not look 59. That's yeah. ridiculous what you just said there.
Wait, who's 59? I'm sorry.
Marina Sirtis.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't make any sense. She is timeless. My gosh. Look at her. I'm looking at a photo, guys. This is a mm-hmm. recent photo. If that person's 59, then I don't know who I am anymore. That's great. Good for her. Yeah. Dude. That's fantastic. She looks amazing.
Is
right
she
now.
Of Italian or Greek descent?
Greek, I think. Greek.
Yeah.
The Grecians don't age. They really don't. They all get one big mole on their face, but other than that, they really don't age much. You know when she was the best looking? I mean, just saying here. Best, most attractive Marina Sirtis moment was probably her in First Contact. Something about her in First Contact. Just amazing. Anyway.
Yeah.
Good for her. Man, she looks great.
Yeah.
We could all look that good at 59.
She maybe has had a little bit of work done on the front region.
Think so? Forehead?
I think so.
Oh, boobs, you mean.
Front region. That covers a lot.
Oh, you mean like the boobs?
I think so, yeah. Judging by some of these pictures on this.
She was always pretty voluptuous, though. Those don't look fake to me. Those look like, I mean, I'm no real judge of this, but those look like.
Well, okay, you know what? Yeah, it could just be pushed in a way that makes it. There's that defined edge in the cleavage that can sometimes make boobs look fake. And I've studied a lot of boobs.
The defined edge of the cleavage. Great. Daryl, why don't we get back to your question here? Her body. The return of Archons. Love the Archons. The Enterprise has seen this planet. They got the scouting party. And who's working with Sulu? Is it O'Neill, Harrison, Grant, or Daniels?
Well, let's see. Harrison and Grant are presidents. Daniels is Jack's something. Drink something. I don't know.
It's a whiskey drink.
I don't know
drink.
What to do with that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lager drink. It's a something drink. Come on, Brian. Help me here.
It's a whiskey drink. See, even
there
I
you
like
it.
It's
there you
a
go.
Cider drink.
There you go. I hate that song. I hate it so much.
Okay. I'm going to stick with my original thought and pick O'Neill.
Well, let's find out. Judges, I know you're listening. Is it O'Neill?
Congratulations!
Yeah.
You're a winner!
3 out of 4 ain't bad this week. O'Neill is on the scouting party with Sulu. They're wearing colonial clothes and trying to escape the planet's inhabitants. O'Neill runs off. One of the inhabitants touches Sulu right before he beams back to the Enterprise. Sulu begins to act strangely, and here's a clip.
Sulu, what is it? Where's Lieutenant O'Neill?
What?
Who?
Lieutenant O'Neill, where is he?
I don't know. What am I doing here? What is all this equipment?
Is that real?
No, no. He's put two things together.
What's the second thing?
The second thing is from the animated series.
What am I doing here?
Really?
Yeah.
But that is still from something Star Trek?
Oh, yeah. I love that one, though.
I play that all the time on This Week in Trek.
Oh, I should have been listening to the show more. I'm going to save that one because that's great. Holy crap. I don't know. What is all this equipment? Okay, good job. Way to go. You nailed it. The Trek Nerd on Twitter, This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com is that show we just mentioned. You guys should be checking that out. Now Daryl will play a little game with us called what?
Oh, it's called I Am Not Ready to Play This Game until I open this spreadsheet and look at what I'm looking at. Okay, it's Federation Starship or Canadian Superhero.
All right, knowing that, go.
Cheyenne.
I think that's Federation Starship.
Yeah, because Canada having a superhero named Cheyenne would be weird, right? Because we have a Cheyenne, Wyoming, and
that's I didn't think the Indians, the Cheyenne Indians, stretched that far north. They may have, but
if they stretched that far, they'd be like Mr. Fantastic. Is that what you're telling me? The Indians stretch that far.
Sorry, I was drinking the coffee
there. That's all right.
I'm trying to get the rest of this this coffee Rio Chew thing done with because I'll have a commercial to read here in a second.
Oh, yeah. Look at you working for the show. I get it. I see what you're doing.
So my leaning is towards Starship.
I'm going to agree. Starship.
Okay. This is from Best of Both Worlds Part 2. It is a starship.
Yay! We were right. Daryl was wrong. Or no, oh, I guess
Did he blow up the Cheyenne when he was a Borg? I guess he's gone.
Oh, is he gone? Oh, did he hang up on us this time? Oh, weird. That's usually my job.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
The daily deal at Slash Loot is the Frog Pants University t-shirt at slashloot.com. $3 off today only. That's slashloot.com.
Yep. Normally a $20 shirt, $16. Come on now.
Nice. Go get it. $4 off then.
That's what I say? 19?
You said 16. So it's normally 19, now it's 16?
Normally 19, now it's 16.
Okay.
Oh, what'd I say? Oh, it's $19.99, so it'll be...
20.
$3
$16.99.
off. Thank you. There you go. Math. It's hard. And they're going to be doing this a ton, like every day. The TMS shirt's probably going to go up this weekend for a little bit less, too. So a great chance to get some deals. The daily deal at slashloot.com. Slash loot. Spell it out. SLASHLOOT.com.
And big thanks to Ironic Name for posting so many topless pictures of Marina Sirtis in the tadpole.
We can
obviously see that she's had some work done.
I didn't know she did a bunch of that stuff. Did she do
She did a very not well seen movie where she did a little nudity.
Oh. Don't they all, though?
Yeah, yeah. I did it for art's sake.
I did it.
For my body.
Marina Sirtis on being TNG's sex symbol and a plastic surgery regret.
Yeah, not that one. Click on the most recent link in the tadpole.
Oh. Oh, gosh. Okay, well, there you go then. Yeah, she... Well, good for her, I suppose. I don't know. Is that good? I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I think she looks good for 59.
I agree.
I think for 59, that's pretty good.
I think that if she had her choice, that wouldn't be the topless photo that Ironic Name would be circulating around the internet.
No, but if I was Ironic Name, that is exactly the photo I'd be circulating because he's weird. All men, this just in, beep to beep.
Mm-hmm.
All men in North Korea are now reportedly required to get the same haircut as Kim Jong-un. That sweet, sweet haircut that guy's got. They all have to get it. Until now, everyone in North Korea had to choose their haircuts from a list of state-approved styles. This is true, by the way. This is on time.com. This isn't.
That's the thing. Exactly. If this came from the same sources as the North Korea sent a man to the sun and back.
Right. Then we'd worry.
Then I'd say it's bull crap. But the fact that this is on time.com, Tina showed me this last night and said, oh, yeah, that's going to be bull crap.
Yeah, it seems like it. BBC is also reporting it. Pyongyang introduced a new law 2 weeks ago. It is now rolling it out across the country. Unfortunately, some North Koreans may not be thrilled about the new look, according to a former Pyongyang resident now living in China. The Kim Jong-un cut is unpopular because it apparently resembles the style of Chinese smugglers.
Mm.
You know, those Chinese smuggler haircuts. They're all the rage.
That's right.
Let's see. Until
it's kind of the Three Stooges. There's a Three Stooges kind of quality to it, isn't there?
It really is. Until the mid-2000s, we called it the Chinese smuggler haircut, this source told the Korea Times. Yeah, I mean, my brother, Matt, who's from South Korea, says that these kinds of things are more real than you think. Like, once in a while, we'll get some news in the West that's completely blown out of proportion or complete crap or whatever. But he says it's not it's not too abnormal to do. It's kind of like, okay, when I was in high school, we had a totalitarian class. It was government studies or something. But we did this two-week thing where everyone wore armbands. We picked a leader, and we ran it like a totalitarian state. Mm-hmm. And it was a real trip. I mean, in the hallways, if you'd see a member walking the wrong direction that day, because there were rules like on Tuesday, everyone must turn left to go everywhere. And we had circular halls in our school, so you could actually get away with this.
So, but you might actually have to get to that that classroom to your right. You'll have to go all the way around,
exactly. And if you didn't, they would call you on it. You'd have to go down on your knees. They would berate you in front of everybody in the hallway. Nobody would beat anybody up or anything, obviously.
Sure.
And I don't think they're allowed to even do that anymore. I think that's all people got too sensitive to it or something. But for like 2 weeks, you'd have deposed leaders who would be disgraced and then treated like the worst of the worst. They'd have to sit in the back of the class and sit on the floor while everybody else was at their desks. And then the new leader would have to implement new rules. And the rules we do seem silly to us. But my brother says, that stuff's like that goes on in North Korea. They have weird. Like, this haircut rule is not a weird thing. This could happen.
Wow.
So, anyway, even though we don't really have any proof other than these two news reports.
Right.
What the hell's going on up there, man?
It is crazy.
It's so weird that country exists in this day and age.
I can't wait to see, like, the first photos coming back, though, with, like, all of the, all the leaders all grouped together or just a group of people with that, all with the same Kim Jong-un haircut.
Yeah. No, Treacle, you're right. It is. It's supposed to be abusive. The whole point of that class was to open people's eyes to A, what they would be capable of if they were given power and authority, and how to curb that and the dangers of that kind of stuff. It's really, really interesting. It was, nobody was ever physical with anybody. You had all these rules you couldn't do, but you could be pretty verbal and, rule with an iron fist kind of stuff. It was intense. It's interesting too, because you play a role in all of that. My role was to kind of just stay out of trouble. I put on an armband and I just kind of kept out of the way of the leaders. I didn't aspire to be in charge of anything. I just kind of wanted to go about my life, and I followed the rules. So I was like, I'm going to go around this way. Now, would I, in a real situation, life and death situation, would I be different? Maybe I'd be different. But in that case, I was just who I was. It was really interesting.
Wow.
Okay. What else we got here? Oh, check it out. Man arrested. Oh, so I heard about this from an actual fan, longtime listener and fan, guy that used to live out here in Provo, who is now in D.C. And he's going to school at this college and is in this class, but wasn't there yesterday during this when this incident happened. But a man was arrested after pepper spraying a GMU law professor. This is George Mason University. A law professor was pepper sprayed in his classroom today. This was yesterday, after a man tried to place him under a citizen's arrest. So a guy came in, said, "This is a citizen's arrest," and sprayed him in the face with pepper spray. This is according to the Arlington County Police. The incident happened at GMU's Arlington campus near Virginia Square around 3 p.m. Police say the man entered the classroom and attempted to place the professor under a citizen's arrest. The professor tried to get the man, described as a white male in his 20s or 30s, to leave, at which time the man pepper sprayed him and a scuffle ensued.
Scuffle.
A little scuffle. Fisticuffs.
Was there a tussle maybe even?
Maybe. Maybe a tussle. For sure. I mean, only reported as a scuffle. Tussle's possible, though, I would say. According to Arlington County Police spokesman Dustin Sternbeck.
Whoa.
That's a badass
name.
That's
a great name, yeah.
Dustin Sternbeck. The professor did not know the man. Sternbeck said, "I'm Officer Sternbeck. What happened here?" I'd take that guy seriously.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Why the heck not?
Much better than Button Crotch or whatever the Crotch Button, Lord Crotch Buttons.
Lord Crotch Buttons. Oh, he's the worst.
He is, yes.
What a dick. Anyway, I'm glad my buddy wasn't in there, but I'm also, that's what a weird deal. What a weird thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
And also, can you do that? Like, Brian, let's say you're real upset.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to Starbucks and there's a barista in there that you think ripped you off a week ago. I mean, you're not allowed to just go in there and handcuff him.
Where's my wine?
Yeah. But you can't just go in, handcuff him, and go, this is a citizen's arrest. Come with me, can you?
No, but
I don't know anything about this stuff. So.
That's a public place, whereas this, I would a campus is not going to be a public. You know, it's not going to be a place where people can come and go freely, like a Starbucks would be.
Sure, but right? Even it's then, gonna, can you? I mean, what I would love to know more about how citizens' arrests even work. Like, how's yeah. that, how can you get away with that? That seems
it does seem like a very just from our perspective, a very open to interpretation kind of thing, right?
Right.
I don't like what you're doing. I'm putting you under citizen's arrest. Where are the rules? We're never given the rule book as to here are things you can put somebody under citizen's arrest for. It's always been this.
Yeah, it's vague.
Almost like a joke kind of thing.
Yeah, it's you know? Vague. The only thing that's I can think of that's close to it that seems to work in my head is like bounty hunters, like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Him and that big South Park looking wife of his. She seems very South Parky for some reason.
Yeah.
Another Jay Martin has coined the name Sternbeck Crotch Buttons. I like that a lot.
Sternbeck Crotch Buttons.
This
nice.
Year's dark arts teacher there in the. The Harry Peter.
Very nice.
Let's move on from all of that big news to some of this smaller stuff.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
The Daily Tech News Show, starring Tom Merritt at dailytechnewsshow.com. Hop on over there today and see how tech coverage should be.
I agree.
By the way, Captain Kipper in the Tadpole posted a link to the wiki article about citizens' arrests.
Oh, okay. Oh, gosh. That first picture. What are we doing there? Look at that. Look at that illustration.
I must not be looking at the same
thing. It's the very first thing here. Let's see.
Oh, the wiki. Oh, gotcha. You were looking at the wiki how.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. Good Lord.
This guy's scratching his head like, I wonder if I should arrest this guy.
He's only stabbed her 5 times in the abdomen.
What's he doing to poor Kate? can't remember. I think it's his name.
The one that 70s show chick, not her.
No.
That's
who
I'm thinking of.
Oh my God! Now completely lost her name.
Jimmy.
Yeah, we'll say Jimmy.
Jimmy. Let's see. Yeah, that's a weird illustration. That looks like Tom Merritt stabbing her to death. Look at him with his hat.
You give him a little stubble.
Yeah. That's Tom Merritt right there.
Don't like my tech news.
Take this.
Katie Seagal. Thank you.
Katie Seagal.
How could I not?
She's, man, talk about somebody who looks great for their age. She looks great.
She does look great for her age. It's not Kate Upton, ironic name.
No, her torso, that's a bigger target for his knife.
probably impervious.
Let's see. Is it legal? It's legal to make a citizen's arrest when you observe a crime happening. For example, if you see one person with a knife about to stab another, you'll witness a crime. You can detain the perpetrator. The crime
way to give us one of those gray area crimes.
Yeah.
If you see one person use a knife to stab another person, you might have witnessed a crime.
You might have. The crime must have already happened in order for you to legally make the arrest. So he needs to stab her for you to do anything, according to this.
Yeah. Well, you know, Minority Report situation here where I think they're going to stab her.
Yep. Hearsay is no good, it says. Oh, look at him wrestle Tom. Then his hat fell off.
Oh.
Murder, rape, or assault resulting in bodily injury. Theft of more than $500,000 of property. $500, sorry. Indecent exposure before a child. Hit and run and arson. Those are all ones you can step in on. Let's see. Assess whether the crime constitutes breach of peace.
I love these illustrations.
They're kind of the worst. They're kind of the worst thing ever made.
I think that gun made the guy with the backwards baseball cap on the far right wet his pants. I can't be sure.
I think you're right. There's a little wet spot in the front. And the guy behind him, what's wrong with his arms? Look at that guy's arms. No head. His head's missing. That's terrible. And this guy with camel toe in the front with the blue jeans, look at him.
Yeah.
He's pretty excited. Wow, this is. I now I'm enamored with the art.
I am too.
Look at the one. Go down to near the bottom of the guy's yelling in his cell phone at the construction worker. That one's great.
Let's see here. Oh.
And the one right below that, they're, what are they, tying him to a stake to burn him? I guess they're just detaining him.
It looks like it, yeah.
Why does everybody look like they had 12 too many hot wings the night before?
I can only draw fat people.
That's all I got. If you don't like it, then draw your own.
It's my thing. Some people got, you know, like that Picasso guy drew eyes on the wrong side of the face. I draw fat people. Fat people in ill-fitting pants.
That's right. Well, bunched up in the front, all weird with their crotch. Let's see here. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Stage and screen star of...
she was in love with Shakespeare in that Shakespeare movie something.
Yeah. She was she's your Pepper Potts and your Iron Mans. What else? That's all I care about, really. Oh, she was in the Royal Tannenbaums, and she was really good at that.
She's great.
I love that.
She's a lovely, lovely person. With,
I like her.
With internet accusing her of very shiny legs.
Yeah, people give her a lot of crap, and I'm not exactly sure why she's such a target. I don't get that exactly. I think she's fine. I don't think there's really any reason to give her so much trouble. But anyway, she has called it quits with her husband, though, getting a divorce. This is the lead singer of the Coldplay.
That's right. Oh, no. Now they might make some sad music. Oh, well, too late.
Yeah. Oh, it's all sad. They do have great... You know, you're the one that turned me on to it. You turned me on, Brian.
Ice Worm. Yeah, about time we get the shoe on the other foot with that one.
Sure. You gave me that cover. It was a concert thing that they just impromptu did, the Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah. After Adam Yauch died, right?
Yeah. And my daughter made my daughter cry her eyes out.
Oh, good.
She's such
a
sensitive...
So glad I could... perpetuate the sorrow in your family.
She's such a sensitive little flower. All I had to do is say, okay, Carter, I'm going to play you a song. This is a Beastie Boys song, which is totally goofy and loud and dumb, right? It's like their dumbest song, their biggest hit, but their dumbest song. Mm-hmm. But it is after one guy died of cancer, and they did a little tribute here, and it's Coldplay on stage. I said, okay. And I played it, and I looked back at the end of the song in the back of the car in tears, bawling her freaking eyes out. Saddest little thing. Anyway. Sometimes I've told you this, I watch things or find movies or TV shows that I know are going to get her emotionally, because I like that she is not afraid to just have a good cry about a thing that's genuinely like an emotional thing, either happy or sad. First 10 minutes of Up, and she's a complete mess. We watched the entirety of Derek, the series Derek.
Yeah.
She cried through that whole thing.
Aww.
Anyway.
Little sensitive flower.
She is a little sensitive flower. So she's out. She's done.
Stay tuned for about a month from now when Brad Pitt runs into with Chris Martin says, "What's in the box?"
Yeah, what's in the box? Spoiler. Pepper Potts is in the box. Teddy Ruxpin, toy creator, has died, age 77.
Oh, by the way, let me give another J. Martin credit for that one. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Oh, he said that in the thing?
Felt like he deserved... Well, he said, wasn't she in Seven at some point? And that's what spawned me thinking of that joke. So
credit
to another J. Martin for the inception of that joke. Okay. So
here's a reminder.
On to a talking teddy bear.
Here's a reminder for you.
Hi there. My name is Teddy Ruxpin. How are you today?
Fine.
Well, then... I would like to
Teddy Ruxpin.
Anyway, creepy.
Why is there lightning and thunder in the background?
I don't know. Really weird.
Maybe not a good idea to do your Teddy Ruxpin commercial during Hurricane Katrina. I don't know.
Really weird. This is the robotic talking robot bear that we all were forced to think we wanted when we were kids. He has died at 77, giving young children nightmares since 1985. Teddy Ruxpin was able to move its mouth and eyes while reciting bedtime stories that were told via these cassettes that were inserted in his back. Yeah. He had to buy the tapes. Let's see. Teddy was his claim to fame, even developing a TV show, called The Adventures of Teddy Ruxpin. Don't remember that. Doubt anyone does.
Yeah.
Let's see. During the 80s, Ruxpin became the official spokesbearer of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Ruxpin in peace.
Oh, jeez. Ruxpin peace.
Thanks, TMZ. You guys just had to do it.
obviously there's the joke, you know, you got to make about he's going to be delivering his own eulogy at his this funeral. Hi, everybody. So glad you could make it here with his eyes.
Wrong tape.
Rolling back and forth.
Yeah. And they put the wrong tape in. It'd be bad. I love that idea. That'd be great. What I like more is, hey, I wonder if, did Teddy Ruxpin have a headphone jack on it? I don't think it did.
I don't think so, but it seems like it would have been good for those kids who, you know, wanted to play with their Teddy Ruxpins and not wake anybody up.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. So why not plug your tweaked audio earbuds he just went over and got for on the cheap because we gave you an awesome deal. Why don't you plug those into your Teddy Ruxpin or whatever equivalent music player you have now. Go get them. Get it now. Stream. Check out. 33% off. Use the code STREAM. TweakedAudio.com. Get 33% off. That's a whole third of your price off at TweakedAudio.com. All right. When we come back, we've got Wendy here with a very interesting follow-up to some of what we talked about last week.
Good.
Okay. And some interesting thoughts about that. A very clinical look at what Marina Sirtis's image does to some people.
Oh, God.
We'll get to that in a bit. But before all of that, why don't you play me a music song?
All right, this one going out to Zach emailed in. Hey, bearded Kelsey Grammer and Hamburger Mole. What's her face?
Who's that? Hamburger Mole.
Ensign Rowe.
Hamburger Mole.
Hamburger Mole, what's her face? My birthday is on the 29th of March, and I'm turning 32. Goodbye, Scott. Nice talking to you. Okay, Brian, now that I'm talking to you and you alone, could you do me the greatest favor and play a request for me? I'd like to hear a cover of my personal favorite George Harrison song, I Got My Mind Set on You. Thanks, bud. Geez. Love all the crap you guys shove in my ears. Blow the hobo, Zach. Very good. all right, so a lot of people... and I've mentioned this before on the show, so you probably do know this by now, that Got My Mind Set on You was originally done by a guy named James Ray. And the version that George Harrison did, yes, of course, was a cover. How about another cover of this song? This one coming from a 2007 album called 1987, which featured a bunch of different artists doing covers of songs from, you guessed it, 1987. Here are the Beacons and maybe a more pensive, melancholy, sweet version of Got My Mind Set on You.
Anything's better than the one by George Harrison. So here it is, everybody. Brian Dunaway saying this to me on the phone. Check it out.
Mike Monday Monkman is level 20. Scott Johnson.
All right, I don't know why. I don't know. I get these things from Brian Emmett.
Just random.
Or Dunaway. And it's
Dunaway
just,
or just random messages.
Yeah, always weird. Always good, Don. Always welcome, Brian. If you want to send those, that's fine. We'll play him here on the show. All right, I got my mind set on you. We'll be back in a minute with Wendy. Stay tuned. Maybe.
I've got my mind set on you. 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 This time I know it's for real. Feelings that I feel. I know if I put my mind to it. Know that I really can do it. It's gonna take money, a whole lot of spending money. It's gonna take plenty of money to do it right, child. It's gonna take time, a whole lot of precious time. It's gonna take patience. Gonna take money, a whole lot of spending money. It's gonna take plenty of money to do it right, child. It's gonna take time, a whole lot of precious time. It's gonna take patience and time to do it right. I've got my mind set on. set on you. I've got my mind 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 set on you.
There's a Frisbee disc for different reasons. For individual, team, and disc golf competitions. There's a Frisbee disc for different seasons, for windy flights, and a glowing disc for warm summer nights. There's a Frisbee disc for a new friend and an old friend. And there's a great new thing, a Frisbee brand flying ring. Season or reason, pick your Frisbee disc or ring and pick up on the fun and freedom. Frisbee brand products, made only by Wham-O.
Holy smokes!
Sometimes the obvious is the funniest.
All right. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. Don't know what he was doing there.
I don't either, but it's great.
He just sent me a load of new bumpers because people had been awesome. Tweeting them to him. So,
Good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't heard any of them yet. I got here before, or I think right around the time the show started, so there wasn't time to convert any. But, yeah, looking forward to more. Let's see.
Yay,
right here, a whole new batch. Let's see how many we got. Oh my gosh, we got a ton. Let's just play one and sample it.
Yeah, just out of random.
Just a random one. Here you go. How about this one? Here we go.
They are all that is man. This is the morning stream.
Weird. Here's a good one. You'll like this.
It's true.
What's Scott Johnston and Brian Ibbotson doing? You know those guys got talent. This is the morning stream.
Nice.
Anyway, I'm excited. New batch. Always good. Always good. It's like Christmas morning here in the TMS studios.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think it's windy time.
Yes.
Let's do it. Oh, hold on. I haven't fixed my problem. I will fix it, but I haven't yet.
Okay.
Okay.
You're fine.
Waiting for the call. Like, if we had a real producer, they just have calls ready, mm-hmm. right? Like
right, exactly.
Be sitting there waiting
for you've call. Got so and so on line six.
Like the Frasier kind, right?
Yes. We'd have our own Roz. Exactly.
Should we get our own Roz one day? Oh, hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, it's fine. We were just talking about. How nice it would be to have like a producer behind glass somewhere doing stuff for us. That'd be nice.
Like a Roz.
Yeah, it'd be really, really great. And they could call you and then they could just have you ready for the show whenever. And you could just be, and then they could screen calls and like get rid of the weirdos and only let the good ones in. That kind of stuff.
Right.
That'd be great. Okay. It's Wendy, everybody. My sister, Wendy Dunford, heir to the Dunford Bakery fortune and an actual therapist. She comes on the show every Thursday. And talks about stuff that help you get along in your life just a little bit better. Relationships, money, sexual dysfunction, fart gas, whatever we need. Let's do it here on the show. So
we've never talked about that. That should be something someone sends in.
Well, let me ask you.
Do you not tell Wendy about the mysterious things that you hear people shout at you from weird places?
No, I should tell her more. And maybe she may have an interpretation of that fart gas one. I don't know. Yeah. So I'll just give you this is just one example. We've had a bunch of these. What was the one, Brian? Something. The Walmart one was something tip.
Explosive tip.
Explosive. Someone in a Walmart parking lot yelled at me from across the parking lot. Someone I didn't recognize from a distance yelled, "Explosive tip!" at the top of their lungs, then got in their car and drove away.
Tip?
I don't know what it means. I mean, that sounds like a gun, like a bullet, right? Explosive tip.
Yeah.
And then, so that's one thing. And then a couple weeks after that, or whatever it was, I'm at a stoplight. Somebody sticks his head out of his car, yells at me from across another car, and yells, "Fart gas!" at the top of his lungs. And I said, "What?" He goes, "Fart gas!" And we still to this day don't know what he was really saying. Some people think that he was just saying frog pants.
Frog pants, yeah.
That's the that's a prevailing deal, and it was somebody who knew me. But he wasn't smiling. He looked all concerned. Like, something was wrong. So, anyway, it's probably a topic for a different day.
I have fart gas.
Yeah, I have fart gas. Like help me. What do I do?
He just drives away and you didn't even help him.
No, I didn't. I didn't help him with his fart gas problem. But today we're going to help somebody with their other problem, whatever it may be. Okay. And it's a bit of a follow-up.
Probably less severe.
Yeah.
It's kind of a follow-up or a connection to what we had last week, but we'll get into that in a minute. And we do have an actual follow-up from last week that we won't read verbatim, but I think it's an interesting comeback from the listener that we were addressing last time. And to get your kind of general take on, I don't know, the differences, there's a if there's one big difference between men and women, it's that men are so visually driven and women aren't as much. So a woman might see some sculpted Adonis man on TV and go, ooh, yeah, he's good looking. But we are way more likely to be checking out the ladies, if you know what I mean.
True.
And there's some, you know, evolutionary sort of get your mate, let's have babies kind of stuff going on under the surface. And we'll get to all that in a minute. But before that, let's read this email we got in from somebody we'll call CD. All right. Compact Disc is their name. And they say this. Says, hi, guys. I was listening to the March 20th show, and Wendy was talking about porn and what can happen when you can, create relationships with it. I was wondering what she thought about websites like The Chive that have seemingly normalized the bra and panty shots for the college/university age bracket and what that does. Thanks, CD. So referring more to, I don't know, the let's call it the modern equivalent to pinup girls in the 50s or something.
Right.
Bikini girls and
the Vargas girls, yeah.
That kind of stuff. You know, you paint it on the side of your plane in World War II and name the plane Edna or whatever. Maybe I've taken it too far, but either way, you know, that idea that, hey, well, she's a real looker, see? Like that kind of mentality, which has always sort of existed. Today it exists online in various forms where you wouldn't call it necessarily pornographic, but it's definitely, you know, meant to
salacious.
Yeah, it's salacious, and it's meant to stimulate the eyes of men and perhaps women who are into that. Whereas it's you know, it has its limits, I suppose. Specifically on that site, that's something they do. But before we get to that, we got a follow up from the dude last week, and now I can't remember exactly what he said. Remind me. It was kind of basically saying, yeah.
He's like, I do look at porn.
Yeah.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah. Okay. It's like, how does Wendy know that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because she's had some experience in
this. Because I was like saying afterwards, I was like, oh my God, how did we call him out? His email didn't even mention porn. And we called this poor guy out and said that he looks at porn.
Wendy, I think you just see the
nail right on the head.
You just see the signs, right? I mean, you see the tendencies or the whatevers or the, if somebody is really withdrawn like that, you know, that's maybe a sign that they're getting out their quote unquote needs in a more private way or something. Is that the way to look at this?
Well, maybe the way to look at it, the signs you speak of. I mean, I think you can have some of those same behaviors without having a porn issue. Oh, hi, boys.
Perfect timing.
Sorry. Everybody's speaking home. Of porn issues. Hey, guys, go downstairs and watch some porn. No, just kidding. Just kidding. That's a joke.
Mom?
Go back in your room and I'm going to lock the door. Adam's a little busy this morning, so I'm going to hide outside in the rain.
Perfect.
So anyway, what I was saying is that there is definitely some symptomology that comes from spending a little too much time sort of developing a relationship with porn. So let me explain what I mean by a relationship with porn. The new emailer said that term. I obviously must have said it last week. But
yeah. You said something like it, yeah.
Your brain does not know the difference between building a relationship with a real person and with sexual satisfaction with images and movies and things that are not person-to-person contact. So just chemically doesn't know the difference. It's like, that's a real person. I'm going to have a different chemical response. In some ways, it definitely does, but that is more about intimacy and connection and, you know, why anyone ever gets married, you know, loyalty, all sorts of other aspects and chemical behaviors that then create bonded mate for life kinds of tendencies, right?
Right. Whereas with porn, you don't get any of that. You just get the straight up.
And chemically extremely potent because you're doing a couple things differently. You're having newness, right? Mm-hmm. Anyone out there who's a porn guy is going to relate to this where you're looking at something and it first time you see it, it's like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And then you can watch that four or five times and it doesn't do the same thing for you. So you have to seek out more and more.
Right.
That's basically the dopamine system. We are strangely created to seek out more stimulation when, because what actually is happening is that the more stimulation that that part of our brain gets, that circuitry gets, it sort of shrinks and it needs more to get the same high. It's called dependency. And we know a lot about this with chemical addiction, but pornography is a very sort of new, first of all, new in the sense of it's the ubiquity of it is like no other time in history.
Yeah, that's the newness of it. I mean, there were Mayans making pots or whatever that had people doing it, but it's not like, you know, you could easily download a new pot on the internet in Mayan society.
A pot wasn't moving and in HD, you know. Right. Anyway, Brian's era, he had to wear his trench coat and go into a video store.
Right, like
you know,
we talked about last week. Right.
Yes.
So there's all sorts of
sticky floors.
There's all sorts of walls. And barriers to that, to access, that are gone now. So accessibility is really high. So what we know chemically that happens in the brain with pornography specifically is it mimics three drugs. It mimics a hallucinogen, a stimulant, and a narcotic. I'm saying the wrong one. But basically fantasy, relaxation, and a high, right? So you have all three of those things chemically being produced naturally in the brain.
Right.
And so that is going to happen initially with a relationship.
More intensely, like, right, than any more other kind of thing.
Part of it is that with a real relationship, there's still social mores you're following. Like there's the dating and calling and who's going to say what, and then the first time you have sex, and then the woo, and you know, and all of that kind of in love, what Hollywood would call in love. Mm-hmm. All of that is that chemical cocktail that's awesome.
Right.
Well, pornography mimics that initially over and over and over again, which is why if someone's listening thinking, yeah, now I'm into like cat and chicken porn and I can't believe I've ever got to that place. If you've ever had that thought, it's because your brain has acclimated to the highs that you give it. And eventually it wants more and more and more. And so people find themselves in places they never thought they would be and don't want to be.
Right.
Anyway, so that's kind of the brain science behind it, right? So as you're developing a relationship, first of all, what do you do with a relationship? You give it time. You think about it. You give it money. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that if you take a real relationship and you take a porn relationship, there's a lot of the same stuff going on there, except you're alone at the end of the day and there's other costs to it. And, you know, there's a lot that can go on that really is obviously detrimental. So this is not going to be everybody.
Right. Just like some people can drink casually and some people can one drink and they're an alcoholic for the next 60 years. There are extremes on both ends of it, but right. It just seems to me like, even like adrenaline junkies. Like, let's say the Jackass crew who likes to jump off giant things and do dangerous things and, you know, whatever, bungee jump off of things that none of us would ever try to do. They get to the point where that adrenaline high is the biggest high in the world and it's the most amazing thing ever.
Right.
But I've heard people who are in the know also in various fields or whatever, a neuroscientist who lives in Canada who emails us a lot, who has said before that, that porn and produces this dopamine effect is the most powerful thing human beings can have and therefore want more often and can't get enough of. And therefore it's so easy to get all mired down in the politics of this, but really what you're talking about here is just straight up physiology. Like you can talk about all the moral implications and all that other stuff, but when it really comes right down to it, are you feeding an addiction or are you not?
Right. And then there's sort of the freaker outers. I can't think of the right word. Who are the people that freak out? Those people. But so for example, like pornography leads to rape and sex offending and child molesting and all of those things. So it is not a direct correlation, but I can promise you with all the sex offenders I've known, which I've known many, none of them act out without pornography. Pornography is always the primer for those who are going to go that far.
Right.
Right. So it's definitely correlated for those individuals. Now, how do we know the difference between someone who's going to do that and someone who's not? And people are studying that and I'm not sure we know exactly those answers, but everyone who looks at pornography is not going to act out in, break laws, and well, they're breaking some laws probably, but not going and offending other people. However, that definitely is correlated for a subset. But for those who are not, and they're not that guy, and of course it's harmless, this is really the point I want to speak to, because all that other stuff's kind of so big and unmanageable, it feels like. But the individual, this is where the cost really is that neuroscientist is right. It really is one of the highest highs. And it's because it's biologically driven. It's about reproductive survival of the species. So what is attractive is certain things in a female that mean she's fertile, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is really ingrained in the minds of, you know, male peacocks. You know, they got to find the whatever, right?
Right.
The challenge is, though, and there's a woman, I cannot think of her name, I meant to look it up beforehand, who's written a book about being a woman. And she's really funny and British and so funny to listen to. But anyway, she said, what we need is not less porn, but what we need is more porn. And you're like, what? And what her point is that porn is now one size fits all. The shape of a woman's body, which is 100% plastic surgery and airbrushed,
yeah,
is not normal. That is not, you're not going to find anyone that ever looks like that.
Well, even if they aren't airbrushed and even if they aren't plastic surgified, they're still they're outliers in, right, in extremes of in the sense of beauty, and there's not 50 others lined up to do it. There's a reason they, right, picked her, in other words.
And she would not give you the time of day.
Right.
So,
right.
There's that.
Right.
But so what happens, and her point is, there's a certain sex that's shown, there's certain body types that are shown, there is all this, it's so one focused that the attraction of young boys as they are viewing this and being raised on this is put into one category. And her point is that's not real life, and the pornography actually damages them because they're expecting this perfection. Someone listening might also recognize this idea that you're online and you can look at porn all day long, but you are searching for the perfect picture.
Yeah.
There is this compulsion that comes into this relationship with pornography that is particularly damaging, and that is this need for perfection, or this need for whatever that high is going to bring, which usually means perfection because you've already seen everything else. So all of that, think of this, the sheer time. Think of the time when you're just like on some site and you get lost and you're reading a bunch of articles. Think of the time suck that normally comes. Imagine what it is like when you are craving a high and, yeah, you can't seem to be getting it. So, yeah, you have a lot of productivity wasting. You have a lot of all this other stuff, all this stuff that goes towards this relationship. And then how does that play out in your real relationship and your real life?
Mm.
And that's really the problem. So our emailer from last week was talking about how he's just nervous asking girls out. He doesn't, you know, have the sort of feels like he doesn't have the skills to interact with real women. And I believe, and that's why I guess, Brian, that was my guess, was if you are not able to connect with real human beings, mm-hmm, and not to say you can't have friendships, but romantic connection.
Right.
My first guess is that you have a pretty, yeah, skewed view of what that's supposed to be.
Your expectations are set wrong, yeah, because of this. Yeah, that makes sense.
There's no way a real girl is like the girl on the show who the only thing she wants is sex. That's not real life for the majority of women. And he knows it on some level, obviously, or he's not, because he's not just acting like that with them. But he doesn't, in turn, have the skills or know-how to what they really need and what they really want.
Well, also, isn't there a problem where he and others, they view, this is just pure, I have no science to back this up, but it feels logical to me that you begin to establish not just a view of what perfection is physically, but also the idea that submissive and constantly, yep, ready for you and always up for it, mm-hmm, is the norm. So when you get in a real relationship where actual complicated emotions exist, they had a hard, yeah, day at work or whatever the thing is, they're a little frigid on a Saturday, your reactions and your impressions are going to be so much different if your standard is set to where every woman is this, you know, this
ready, yeah,
ready and willing and always, yeah, always up for whatever you want kind,
absolutely,
of deal.
When real biology is that, here's the analogy I give couples all the time. Dudes are microwaves, women are crockpots. And she needs 8 hours of you being good to her, nice to her, doing the dishes, communicating. And then maybe you with some extra work, it's going to work out. That's real. But that requires skill, intimacy, communication, everything that makes a good relationship for you to have a good sex life in a real couple, right?
Right.
You're exactly right. So then what happens is if she's not ready instantly, she doesn't want me enough or she's not whatever it might be. And you're going to turn to porn. Yeah. So even if you're trying to give it up and then you're in a real relationship and you know it's impacting that, you have to detox. There's an interesting YouTube video. I could hardly get through it. It's actually a TED Talk. I read his written version. It's an Israeli guy. And the title of his TED Talk is Why I Gave Up Porn or Why I Stopped Watching Pornography, I think. And he went on, he basically volunteered for, it was like a community health thing where they would go out to prostitutes and other sex workers and try to treat whatever illnesses they had and stop the spread of disease. And I mean, it is one of the most disturbing things I've ever read. And I've hear a lot of disturbing things, you know, how some of those porn videos are made.
Yeah.
You know, this woman, the guy's filming this nasty, it makes me want to throw up just talking about it. Anyway, and for him, suddenly he's faced with the reality of what the porn industry really is and how it is made and what he has been viewing. And this is where it kind of comes back to this concept of it's the not realness, the objectification. You don't ever think, oh, that's someone's mother or sister. And in, you know, well-lit, well-paid pornography actors, that's one thing. But that is not all that's out there. And that's not all everyone's watching. And the demand is what is creating it. And there's some serious suffering because of it. And so you take all of that. Anyway, and he talks about how it took him 18 months to stop, even though he knew all this stuff. He had all this perspective. He is talking to these women. He's burying bodies of women who are killed during pornography movies being made because they're strangled to death.
Yeah.
You know, it is this intense craziness. And he says, it still took me 18 months and I had slip ups and it's because you are addicted. And of course, let's make clear, not everyone's addicted, but if someone listening is like, well, I'm going to prove I'm not addicted, stop using it today and go a month. And then you tell me how well you're doing because I don't think everyone is on it. Everyone's on a different level here. But here's where stopping can really matter. So you take the guy who emailed last week and even the guy who's talking now. We have to answer his question too. But
yeah, we do have to get to that at some point.
So if you just take a break, I joke about this with social media all the time to you guys, but I dead serious do it with my clients, which is take 30 days off from all your social media. And then tell me the difference in your life. That's all you got to do. 30 days.
30 days.
I know, right? Are you guys crying?
There's Morgan Spurlock here.
Pretty soon you'd be yakking a quarter pounder out the side of your truck.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine? I'm going to gain so much weight if I get off social media for 30 days. Supplanted with Big Mac.
And really the point, what ends up happening is just a calming down of your dopamine network. Your neural, the neural firing, it slows down. The first 3 days, really hard. Yeah. And so the same idea with pornography is that you just take a break and you are honest with yourself about what the relationship you have with it. And it really might be mild and not a big deal, but it really might not be. And if you look in your life and you go, okay, I got all these symptoms, meaning I can't keep a girlfriend very long. When she finds out about the porn, it takes this long for us to finally break up because she's hurt and I think she's stupid or, you know, but if you're really honest about what is the impact of it, that's the start. Cause maybe it's mild and it's fine. Maybe it's something entirely different, but it's hard because you're sort of hijacked. Your brain is a little bit hijacked and you kind of, so if it's one of the most, you know, addictive cocktails we have in our bodies and our brains, then how is one guy totally addicted and someone else just fine? Well, it's still going to be a pretty solid cocktail for him.
Yeah.
And he may just not be realizing. So it's just a valuable technique to just try to figure out, where am I?
It's the same questions you'd ask. I mean, it's less controversial somehow, but it's the same questions you'd ask if you're addicted to heroin or something or drinking or something that's gone too far. all your friends are casually drinking and no problem, and you're suddenly finding yourself constantly craving it or whatever, maybe you've got a problem, so you have to make all those honest looks. Nobody would, if you just took all the porn words out of what you just said and insert alcohol or drugs, what you just said, nobody would even bat an eye. Well, of course, right. That's how you'd handle this. But there are so many people who get so somehow weirdly personally offended if you even try to come close to suggesting the idea that somebody could be addicted on pornography, or that those chemicals react any differently in your brain. It's mind-boggling to me.
You can take my porn when you pry it out of my cold, dead, naked hands.
That's right, my naked hands. Anyway, but I just think that's interesting, because you could have said all of that and it would have been zero. Nobody would have any problem with it. But you say it with porn and suddenly it's different. I don't know why.
Well, and it's maybe a gender divide a little bit. There are definitely women who, and we're finding more and more women addicted to porn. It is becoming a common thing to, you know, I'll meet. You got to go in the house. You can't listen to me talk about porn.
Kids will always walk in at the exact wrong time.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know, right? Speaking of, I meet a lot more women. It's pretty common, even in my practice. But I know generally in the literature, it's becoming more and more common. It starts a little different. It maybe starts less visual. They don't go jump right to the hardcore viewing of porn, but they get there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not just specific to men, but I do think some of the argument, this one woman's argument to have more porn, I think is a really interesting one. Mm. And yet I think part of why it's so visceral for people is, again, they don't want it taken away. But I also think they're not doing crack. And so when you're not, you don't have that experience. Or maybe it's a freedom thing, like, don't take my freedom away. But I guess one of the things that TED Talk is interesting about is just the perspective of the women in the movie.
Yeah.
Or the women who are being, and there are going to be women who volunteer people. I get that. But then what are we culturally looking at? You know, take Chive. So I didn't know what that was. I had to look it up. And so I understand now what you guys are talking about, that it's more of bikini sort of snuggy pictures.
Yeah. It's just
snuggy, a word everyone knows.
It's I would refer to it as
isn't that blanket with the sleeves in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's snuggly.
No, that's
Oh wait, maybe it is a snuggy. Snuggy for me is grabbing Scott by the underwear and yanking it up his butt crack.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Oh, that's a wedgie.
We called them snuggies growing up. We did call them snuggies, though.
We did.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah. Mark would give me a snuggie.
Well, you were wrong to do that.
Wendy would call. Wendy calls movies shows. I mean, it's just the way we grew up. It's fine.
can't help it.
Yeah, I know. In fact, you even said it today. You said, now, one of those women on one of these shows, you said earlier. I know. Which
the
is great.
Pornography show.
The pornography show. Welcome.
Welcome.
Anyway, what were you saying? You had a...
Oh, no. Well, my point is that take our culture in general. So the emailer was asking about Chive. Like, is there a big deal that, you know, they're sort of showing bra and panty kind of...
Mm-hmm.
And that is in the industry we call softcore porn, by the way.
Right.
And lingerie catalogs and blah, blah, blah. Well, all of that's existed for a million years. And yeah, the Edna on the side of your plane example, whatever. But the general concept of what do girls think they're valued for, how are they portrayed in innocuous situations as only good for one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it perpetuates that, and then you have kind of the cycle of that. And so not even just victim with the capital V, not the Israeli women who are dying or whatever, but, you know, just young girls who believe that how they look and what they do is only what it only matters down is their sexual appeal or, you know, their body or their size. So clearly we have some symptoms of this as a culture, and that is eating disorders in rampant is the word I'm trying to say. I think I've told you this on the show before, but I had a professor when he was young. He was at NYU doing his dissertation work. It's 1960, I think. And they had a patient come in, and they it was one of those double mirrors, you know, where you can only see one way. And they got the entire school of psychology to come and to view this patient, because they said, you may never see this again in your lifetime. Mm. I mean, this is such a rare case.
Mm.
And it was somebody with anorexia. Yeah.
Wow.
Never going to see that again.
That's how rare that was then? Wow. Jeez.
Rare it was. It was so rare to have someone nearing death from starving themselves who, when they looked in the mirror, saw a ginormously fat person.
Yeah.
And not to say, you know, you look at porn, that makes people anorexic, but there is a general effect on society. You ask, you know, little girls what they think they're supposed to be doing and what the value is. And you can, we can find this all throughout society. So I look at it as a bigger, sort of on the macro level, the problem with something like Chive is it's just part of the bigger piece of the thing, which is we objectify women. Women then respond as objects, and the symptomology and the health disorders that come from that, mental health, are huge, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I don't know how you solve it, but I think this Israeli guy's thing is really interesting. You know, and I think it applies to some, but I think for others, I mean, to really think about, because if take our friend from last week, if you're objectifying women sexually with pornography all the time, and then you're interacting with a woman, you know, it sounds like he's having a freeze response. He's not objectifying in the moment and assuming that they want to have sex with him. He's seeing them as something alien he has no context for, mm-hmm. Because an object doesn't have layers or complexity or a personality. And, you know, and so it's again, a disconnect or a real disservice in relationship building. And there's a lot of really disconnected, lonely people because of it. And then, yes, there's somebody out there who looks at porn and has an awesome life with his wife and his children.
Sure. And this isn't, I mean, you know, there's a big backlash lately about, slut shaming, you know, calling out people who participate in that industry or whatever. There might be women who work in the adult industry who are constantly just berated by everybody for doing what they're doing. And then they're of course going to lash back and say, I'm making my own choice. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm a strong woman with strong goals, and I'm going to do this and this and this. And that's, I think it kind of can go both ways, right? On the one hand, we have the material is objectifying these women. On the other hand, people are using them as the target, as the problem.
Yeah.
And calling them out and yelling at them. It feels like a no win for women.
Right.
No matter what. The dudes,
it does.
I can't really speak for the dudes. Being a woman, dude. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of dudes with a lot of horror stories that work in that business. I just feel like they're not getting the brunt of it the way that women do. And perhaps I have two daughters and I'm more sensitive to this issue because of that. I'll admit that bias. But
think about Zoolander. I mean, I know you have not thought about Zoolander in years.
I've never seen Zoolander.
What?
I know. Brian's seen it, right, Brian?
I've seen it, yeah.
I've never seen
it. You know,
Zoolander.
It was the first expose on male models, the poor thing, you know.
Expose.
but the idea being, like, you're right, there is sort of the gay male community and then male that are also exploited, for sure. But we're looking at numbers, and culturally, I don't think either of you feel like you've been objectified in your life, have you?
Not yet. Not that I know of.
You're hoping.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
It's just nice.
A few more of these podcasts and I'll have it all sewn up.
Right.
Right. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's a complicated issue, and obviously we're not going to solve it. But I think for individuals, when you look at your life, is your life the way you want it to be? And the fact that there is not a person I see that I don't have some suspicion. I ask them, I'll say, hey, tell me about your pornography relationship. And they're like, why do you know that? Mm-hmm. And it's because it is so common. Mm. And it does have impacts that people are maybe not recognizing, that they don't like. And once they recognize, they can do something about. They can maybe minimize its impact, or they can reduce their use, or they can work on. So I think last week we said to the guy, like, take a communications class. I mean, there is ways to get the skills you need to have a real relationship. I hear from women constantly that men just don't know how to communicate with them. So, you know, what do you do? Part of that might be generational stuff too, but I think there's a lot to do with how the two genders are interacting, and they're interacting less face to face and more with sort of movie versions of the other gender.
Right. By the way, that guy's name, TED Talk guy.
Yeah.
Ran Gavrieli. I don't know how you spell this last name, but it's Gavrieli. If people are trying to search for that.
Gavrieli.
Gavrieli, would you say it? Ran, first name, R-A-N, like Ran. I ran far away. It's reminding me of a song. But anyway, you can find that guy. I just want to make sure to get that out there. People are, yeah. are interested in that. Interesting stuff. I find this topic fascinating just because it really does. It feels like such a modern construct, but it really does get to our core. Like it's this, this outward expression of a very primal thing. And, you know, just down to the, forget about all the politics of it, just down to the chemical response of it all is right. just interesting to me. And why, you know, why anybody's attractive to anybody is fascinating. Like right. you look at somebody and go, ah, she looks pretty good. Well, why? Well, what is that? Right. What are we doing? What is, where is that coming from? Like, that's just really interesting. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in the freak out of it.
Right.
And not look at it just purely from a science perspective. And that science perspective would probably save some people.
Yeah. You know? Well, and thank goodness we have it, or no one would ever mate and have more children to pay for our Social Security later. Right. right?
Yeah. Assuming we still have that. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We won't. But that, yeah, it really comes down to, I mean, you can demoralize it. And pornography addiction to me is not a moral issue. It isn't a lack of morality. It's very primal and very instinctual. And you have to use a lot of techniques and willpower and help to stop. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame in it. And that's actually one of the problems, is we have a lot of shame around it. So hopefully, as I'm talking about this, I'm at least portraying the sense that it is biologically based. There is help for it. It is not that you're a bad person, but it does have an impact. Just if, like, if I was drinking too much or smoking crack, I'm not going to be able to maintain relationships like I could right. or should or want to. Right?
Right.
And so, but I think there's a general feeling that this is not a problem. And for somebody, when it is a problem, it is a problem. But, you know, it's sort of like, well, I can't complain about this because this isn't a real thing. Mm-hmm. Or all my friends are talking about, this is normal. Mm-hmm. Then why am I, you know, I'm now looking at stuff I would never tell anyone I was looking at.
Right.
And so you get into some pretty shameful places, and shame is like pouring gas on a fire on this problem. And
yeah,
it creates a problem.
You could call at it porn. You could call it porn gas even.
Porn gas.
I like that.
Maybe porn that's gas. What that guy yelled.
That's porn what gas. He's yelling from the other car. Yeah.
Porn gas.
That is so weird that people yell things at you.
It
is
we won't weird. Even bring up explosive tip in this concept.
No, we will not. But a lot of people out there think, I think that I'm just deaf, that I'm just not hearing people
yeah,
properly.
Right. Yeah.
It's entirely possible, I suppose.
I think that's absolutely the case.
Maybe.
When you can't hear anybody, you know you're the problem.
Too much Metallica when I was a kid.
Right. If it was one thing throughout the day, then there'd be one thing. But
no, multiples. Yes. Yeah. What does the old phrase go?
Yes, if you're the Raylan Givens.
Yeah, the Raylan Givens line. If you run into an a-hole, then he's an a-hole. If everyone you run into today is an a-hole, then you're the a-hole or something like that.
Exactly.
Well, good stuff. We hope that this helps both guy from last week and dude from this week with his gateway porn, is what I would like to call
gateway
that.
Gateway porn. Let me say one thing for him, for the chive.
Yeah.
So you're looking at beautiful women with their butts hanging out and whatever. And so just ask yourself this question. He's going to hate me. This will ruin porn for the rest of his life.
Oh, then I'm turning off my microphone.
Yeah, right. Plug yours. I want him to go to chive, check out a chick, and ask himself this question, like, is she an object? Is this a problem because I'm objectifying another human being, or am I just appreciating art?
Yeah, ask yourself that.
Yeah, ask yourself that.
And then you'll start asking esoteric questions like, can selfies be art? And then we're in real trouble.
and then, you know, do dogs have brains?
Do dogs have brains? Right. Yeah. All these things are going to come falling down.
I just want you to be a little more thoughtful. That's all.
Mindful. Be mindful.
Mindful.
Mindfulness. You know what I found is the best part of that mindfulness stuff you talked about months ago? Because I try to do it. It helps with all the stressy crap I have in my head all the time. And so I, like this morning, woke up just feeling like I hadn't slept very well. I had a weird dream about Kim Jong-un and me. And we were playing Street Fighter, Virtua Fighter 2, and he beat me. Anyway, it was weird. But the point is, I do this thing where now I'll try to just relax, not think about all the crap I got to do, and just notice that, hey, where my hand is under the pillow, the sheet is really smooth and kind of cool and weird. And how often do I just calm down for a minute and just think about that material that was made
and
the texture of it?
Stop and
smell the
sheets.
Yeah. Stop and smell the sheets. And it really is hugely helpful. So why wouldn't – that would probably work in this scenario where you're like, wow, she's totally hot, but probably a person and probably nice and –
I wonder what her dad looks like.
Yeah, I wonder what her dad looks like. Wonder what the other end of his fist looks like.
That's the thing that'll kill porn for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me imagine her dad. A gun looks like.
Yeah.
You know what? That let me just throw out a book for people who, if they're interested in mindfulness stuff at all, it's called "Full Catastrophe Living," and it's Jon Kabat-Zinn, who I've talked about before. And it feels like a big old manual. I mean, this thing's huge, but it is his actual work and a detailed how to go through his 8-week mindfulness stress reduction program. Mm. It is so good. And it is you could actually just do it on your own with this book. It was like $11 on Amazon. And it's his, 40 years of figuring out how to get people out of pain and how to reduce stress. It's pretty great. And it kind of goes through the whole thing for you. So.
Sure. Well, that's good.
And it's much better stuff than just filling your sheet.
What's the name of the book again? What was it?
Full Catastrophe Living.
Catastrophe. Oh, there it is. Living. Came right up. All right. I like that kind of stuff. All right, cool. Okay. Well, it's windy, everybody. Any big, anything to plug? You got anything cool?
I do have a question. Are you and Carter dropping your art off at the center, or am I supposed to do that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure we could drop it off.
Hey, can we leave these little errand discussions out of my podcast?
out of your porn cast?
All right. Rape Recovery Center. Woo! That's my plug.
We'll do that. Yeah, but I think Kim will take them over there. It's fine. Okay. And they're printed, by the way. We just got to get them matted and all that stuff, and we're done.
We'll take selfies at the event and endless social media.
And there'll be nothing to stimulate your hippocampus or anything.
Yeah, promise.
I said hippocampus. That's right. Mm-hmm. Wendy, thanks a lot. Have a great week. Say hi to the kids. Thanks. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye. You got even quieter there after the hang up, like it's further away or something. Did you move that machine?
I may have. I might have. All right, we're back to normal. Stuff now. We have one email to read this week. There's no ad for it. It's just going to
Is actually. It's funny you didn't see it there.
Oh, yeah. The one that does, it's not there, but I feel it coming at me. Give it to me. What do you got there?
Emails today are brought to you by Coverville. We're on the show today. You're going to hear covers of Diana Ross and the Supremes. Diana Ross turning 70 this week. You might also hear some Perry Farrell and Jane's Addiction and Porno for Pyro. Speaking of porno, because it's going to be his birthday as well. Check it out. Coverville.com, 2 p.m. Mountain, right here on the only video stream site that matters.
That matters. All right. Cool, man. That's great.
No, it's going to be over at coverville.com/live because I can't hijack your stream anymore.
That's true, man. Fair. That's true. Tonight, also TMSPM. Don't forget.
Of course.
Brand new episode of that. And I'll also right Perry Farrell, my favorite thing Perry Farrell ever said was, why don't I come to your house and take a dump in your tub?
Is that him talking about music piracy?
Nope. It was about us putting pollutants in the ocean.
Oh,
and he says,
right,
that's like me coming to your house and taking a dump in your tub. You'd probably care then, he said.
Dump in your tub.
I loved hearing him talk. He needs to be more outspoken now. Get him on Twitter or something.
God, yeah.
Guy's great. All right.
That's awesome.
All that stuff is good. Yes, TMSPM tonight after Coverville. Yeah. So,
Of course, check out the Kickstarter if you haven't already, the superhero Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah, do that.
Good stuff coming.
What's give the URL again, tiny.cc, what?
No, it's bit.ly/jazzhero. Isn't there some jazz thing called something hero? Yes, it's Jazz Hero.
And we still have, there's still no album name, right? That's still being worked on.
No, but I can tease the name that you and Andrew and I have been kind of leaning towards.
Mm, yeah, tease it.
Which is Secret Identity.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. It's like,
I like Secret Identity.
The Secret Identity is the original, whereas this is the cover, the super cover.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Something like that. All right. Got one email here from Robert who wrote in and says, I just wanted to, by the way, if you want to send your emails in, themorningstream@gmail.com. We're happy to read them here on the show. A little bit of a long one, but we're going to read it. And that's why there's only one. Just wanted to make sure you understand where all the negative press about e-cigs is coming from. This is the e-cigarette vaping stuff. This is not a tobacco product and therefore is subject to the same deals Philip Morris enjoys. In the 90s, there were several statewide attempts to ban all cigarette sales completely. Tobacco companies lobbied against it, and now they pay extremely high taxes in exchange for the right to sell cigarettes nationwide. They also have to fund anti-smoking ads and stop smoking aides. It was worth it in the end because cigarettes continue to be a moneymaker despite all the negativity around smoking. Now along comes the e-cig, which has very little to do with tobacco. If e-cigs take over tobacco sales, then RJ Reynolds, etc. will all go bankrupt. I don't know if this is true because those guys are already making... Like the blue one,
mm-hmm.
they're made by Philip Morris and those guys. Like, these are their products.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
So if they lose out on the tobacco end, they'll just pick some it up on the e-cig end. Some right. of them, yeah, not all of them. But they want in. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, they're lobbying to get e-cigs classified as tobacco products and subject to the same laws. Tobacco companies will then push their own inferior e-cigs and charge unreasonable prices for them. They will create as many hurdles as possible with the ultimate goal of forcing people to start smoking again. Unfortunately, blue e-cigs, well, nobody forces you to smoke. Just don't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that particular part of this. It's like nobody, they're not going to force anybody to do anything.
Right.
Just don't
smoke.
They
may be pushing, they may be pushing their product, but
yeah.
you can easily say, no, I don't want that product.
Yeah. Nobody forces me to watch Pretty Little Liars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to watch that garbage.
Can you watch that?
No, it's garbage.
Okay.
Nobody forced me to watch Jersey Shore in its day, but I did. But nobody forced me. Lastly, the story about how toddlers can poison themselves by drinking the nicotine liquid is completely sensationalized. I had two friends and one family member email it to me. I want to make sure that everyone knows that there is toddler poison in your medicine cabinet right now. There is also toddler poison under your sink. It's in your garage. In other words, it's getting blown out of proportion. A child can be sent to the emergency room because they swallowed a couple of neodymium magnets. All right. These are commonly found stuck to your refrigerator. There are a lot of things a child could swallow that could kill them. This is why parents should generally keep an eye on their kids. But what do I know? Love the show, though. Robert. Okay, it's a good point, Robert. It's like shark attacks.
I would argue with that last bit, though. Yes, I mean, there's poisons, you know, all over the place, like the, you know, under the sink, the Drano and the stuff like that, stuff in the medicine cabinet. However, none of those are advertised or have on the box bubblegum flavor, cherry flavor. When I, you know, hearing about some of these things, and again, it was sensationalized on the news. Just the fact that these are available and prominently displayed with cherry flavor, bubblegum flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, just hearing that kind of makes me think, oh, well, I wouldn't mind trying
Sounds
that.
Sounds all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, so they're in your mom's purse where you're digging through it, and there they are. It isn't like you got to dig underneath a counter to find the Drano.
Right.
It's just
right.
the thing that your mom left on the counter. So, yes, you're right.
Exactly.
It's not exactly a fair comparison.
And, yeah, I mean, it's one case, two cases where this has happened that the news media is blowing out of proportion, or not blowing out of proportion, but blowing up. But if the news stops one person from having it in a place where their son or daughter, their, you know, their toddler would have thought, oh, that looks like it might be tasty, and doesn't drink it and you know, survives because of that, then I hate to say the sensationalism is worth it, but it is, you know, if it
kind of is. I think people should be informed that that stuff in those quantities can be poisonous to their children.
Mm-hmm.
How are they informed of that, or they can get educated about that? Great. Mm-hmm. And if it's the news that did it, I think that's fine too.
Yeah.
But
as long as it's informative and not sensationalized, like, sure. Oh, five things in your house will kill you in 10 minutes. News at 11.
Warning me that their shark attacks are up and not to go to the beach because we had three this year instead of the two we had last year.
Yes.
Is where I draw the line. I don't know. I feel like people just need to, you know what people need to do? It's like this. Somebody was talking about healthcare.gov the other day.
He's smart.
And they said, sorry, Obama, no matter how good this thing gets, you can't fix stupid. Mm-hmm. And what they mean is there will always be some portion of people who don't want to figure it out, who don't self-educate, who don't get the facts straight, who are just being intentionally, not because they can't help it, they're being stupid. And so there's going to be a parent who accidentally cracks one of those open and the kid drinks it or whatever and the kid dies because the parent was stupid. You could have informed them 500 different ways to Sunday. They still were dumb about it. And I don't know how you fix that. That's just going to be the way it is. So here's what I say. I don't want to get all Darwinian about this, but everybody just take care of your damn selves. Learn stuff. If you're going to smoke a blue e-cig, figure that stuff out before you
do. Don't rely on the rest of the world to protect you.
Right.
Protect yourself. Protect your family. Protect the ones you love.
Yeah. Watch. Hide your wife. Hide your kids. All right.
Exactly.
I'm going to swallow a piece of egg now as I get us out of here. Oh, we should get Cleo on the line.
We should get Cleo on the line.
Yeah. I'm over here again.
Oh, look, you're over there.
Don't mind me. For the love of Pete. Okay. Here we go. We're bringing her in. everybody. Hold on to your butts. Here's our theme for her.
Hi, Birdum.
Hi, Birdum. What's going on? Hello?
Hi, Birdum. What's up?
Oh, hi. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
How are you doing?
How are you doing? Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
I think we got some sweet lag going.
I put away the microphone and I use the phone. I put away the microphone and I use the phone and all hell breaks loose.
That's all right. And we just got a little lag. We're going to see if it'll work anyway. So let's give it our best
closer
shot.
To the router.
Yeah.
There's a distance.
So Cleo. Calls, he calls the show Leo.
Cleo.
Drobo. She calls the show and tells us funny stuff that happened during the week. She gives away points, and people in the chat room typically win this little deal. So we're going to let her do it today. So what do we got? What's going on?
First thing I want to know, if Brian moves to North Korea, is his passport replaced with a Rogaine prescription and a wig?
It's going to have to be.
First thing I want to know.
Yeah, got it.
Yep.
They discriminate against the ball.
Kim Jong-un to pay.
Yeah.
Un. Yeah. Kim Jong-un to pay.
All right. During the second song on Monday, the Warcraft medley, C. Michael Cooper said, "One time I listened to this while doing the dishes, and while it's lovely, by the end, they were all broken."
Oh. That's too bad.
Very much what happened.
Yeah.
Let's see. WebMD, Galdoran said, "I used WebMD for the first time recently to check out some cold symptoms I was having. Unfortunately, it told me I had anthrax."
Oh, that's not good. What's this white powder here?
I must shove it in my face. Okay. Chinbeard segment about push-ups. I mentioned to somebody offhandedly that there was no way a fat girl like me does push-ups before bed in order to sleep better. Like, no. And Machu said, most people drop down, really inspired to do it, do about a half a push-up, and just stay there to sleep. Sorry, Chinbeard. During the Trek segment show on Wednesday, Scott was talking about how the Doors were a great band, and somewhere in there he mentioned the phrase, "they really nailed it," to which Zimri replied, "kind of nailing it is my Home Improvement porn parody."
Nice. Good. Very nice.
And Thorin, God bless Thorin, he is just cleaning up all over the place. P. Diddy's new album has a stupid name. He said, "the new album is called Mmm, and the follow-up will be Sausages."
Sausages. That's right. Nicely done. Despite the lag, you nailed it today, Cleo. Good job there.
Oh, you have no idea. I was running around like an idiot to get here on time. I'm yelling at my phone in the car going, "drag it out, Wendy. I'm getting there as fast as I can."
Well, you can always count on Wendy to to go ahead and drag that out.
Sausage.
She's the jury of the Southwest.
She is like the jury of the Southwest, everybody. And Cleo is the what are you of the what? What would your title be?
I don't know. The Midwest. I don't know. The Boston Tornado.
Perfect.
Of the Midwest,
the Boston Tornado, everybody. We'll get you next week to have more fun times with the Boston Tornado.
Bye.
Take it easy.
See you.
Bye.
All right. There goes Cleo and her lag.
And her comment about Kanye's new album reminded me of there was an interesting article I read yesterday from Billboard talking about the increased prevalence of one word song titles like Roar, Happy, Crazy, Umbrella, like how it's, you know, we've gone from things like Didn't I Blow Your Mind This Time to these one word song titles. Like, you know, 25 years ago there were only 9 songs in the Billboard Hot 100 that had one word, and then 5 years or 10 years later there were 13. This year so far there have been 33. And
oh my gosh, that's crazy.
We're barely in. Royals, another good example.
It'll flip around, won't it? Want to go back?
Well, here's what they suspect is the reason. It's a lot easier on Twitter to hashtag Kanye's Diddy. It's a lot easier these days to hashtag a single word song title than it is a really long song title when you're talking about it on a character-limiting interface like Twitter.
That's a good
point. Like, that kind of makes sense.
Probably some search engine stuff, too. Probably the way iTunes...
Selfie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Riders on the Storm would likely today be Riders or Storm.
Riders. Storm, right, exactly.
Yeah.
The end would just be called End.
Also, I think they're being a little hipstery with the names. I think people just like the idea.
I think so, too. Yeah.
This song is called Chicken.
Yes. Nerdmom13 brings up a great one. Standing outside a broken telephone booth with money in my hand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm trying to see what my longest by just looking song is in my main playlist right now.
Oh, geez. That could be.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Everybody Wants to Rule the World. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
A penny loafer saved is a penny loafer earned. by Reliant K.
When the world is running down, you make the best of what's still around by the Police.
That one's pretty good. I Love You More Than You Will Ever Know by Donnie Hathaway. Yeah, so, yeah. But none of these are like, truthfully, most of these are one-worders.
Like, well, the newer ones are, yeah, like Royals and just looking through my list here, Clocks, Everlong, Fireworks, Roar, Hallelujah, Smooth, River, Tush.
The Night They Invented Champagne. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Take it away, Seth MacFarlane. That's his album.
Nice.
Anyway, well, there you go. That's a fun look at why we do dumb things. Let's get the hell out of here. We've had a fun time tonight. TMS PM kicks off 5:30 Mountain Time. Yes. Be here again. Sweet deal, $3 off on the Frog Pants University shirt, available now at /loot.com. Please go check that out. And as always, a reminder that if you're coming to Nerdtacular 2014, you need to go ahead and get your tickets now. So a few people that are on the fence, I keep hearing from them, I don't know what I'm doing. I gotta get a ticket. That's what you gotta do.
Because we want to meet you. Going fast.
We want to shake your hand. We want to hang out with you. We want you to be there.
We want to hug you.
Oh, see, you heard it here. so get that while it's hot. All right. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find Brian at Coverville. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And you can find the show at Morning Stream. That's going to do it. Why don't we play music and get the F out of Dodge?
That's right. People are posting their favorite long song titles. I'm trying to remember the Pink Floyd one, a small bunch of furry creatures in a cave grooving to a pick or something like that. There's some title like that. Anyway, this song title, one word, you're going to love it. Brian, I almost forgot to send the song request in. I hope it's not too late. I would like to dedicate Modest Mouse's rendition of Sleepwalk by Santo and Johnny. This song goes out to the girl of my dreams. We fell in love with it like we did each other on our long drives to and from Flagstaff. Now you're going to get to hear who sent this.
All right.
Svetlana, you've been there for me every step of the way from the very beginning. My pillar of support, finder of all things missing around the house. You have kept my head on my shoulders when I otherwise would have lost it. Who would have known the cute Bulgarian girl from high school would become my partner in crime for the last 9 years. You mean the world to me. I love you. Signed, James. Aww. Yes, that's from one same-sex Marion to another same-sex Marion.
That's so sweet. He's usually such a hippie, but that's just like the sweetest, like, nicest thing.
Yes. Well, you know, those songwriters, they're all like that.
James, that's great, dude. That's awesome.
James and Svetlana, who I'm going to have the fortune of seeing in Vegas about less than a week from today. So can't wait to see those guys.
Yeah.
This is Santo and Johnny's Sleepwalking. Or Sleepwalk, I should say, covered by Modest Mouse. This was from a 1999 album called Building Nothing Out of Something. And if you don't recognize it by the title, you'll recognize it for the important part it played in the film La Bamba, the story of Richie Valens and Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah, he was, and Buddy Holly was in there, and you got your Big Bopper in there.
That's right. Everybody dies at the end. Just so you know.
Just a little spoiler for you.
A little spoiler.
Yeah.
All right, so Modest Mouse and Sleepwalk.
He, by the way, Lou Diamond Phillips?
Yeah.
Fantastic in that Longmire show. Real good in there. That TV show.
Oh, yeah.
The Katie Sackhoff thing. It's great.
Yeah, I'm not adding that to my lineup.
You should. It's good.
Well, that over Sons of Anarchy? What's coming off the list,
Well,
Scott?
I don't know, because I'm only three episodes into Sons of Anarchy so far, and I'm not saying that it's bad. I just don't like it more than Longmire yet. Now, I keep hearing that's going to improve for me, but we'll see. I mean, 5 seasons, a lot can change. We'll find out. But yeah, you got to have a place for Longmire somewhere. You got to put it in.
Okay, it'll be in the bottom.
Just somewhere. It's all fine.
Homeland? Is Homeland coming off? The Wire?
I haven't put any of those on my list, so I don't know. I need to, though. I need to see those.
Okay.
Why don't you put Barnaby Jones on the top of the list?
You know what? I'm also putting that Andy Samberg show on the list because I hear everybody says it's really good.
Chicago
Fart 99 or whatever.
99, what is it? Yeah. I hear it's okay, too. Although Eileen Rivera does not understand what the hype is and doesn't like it at all. So I usually trust her TV opinion. So I don't know.
I trust her. I trust her music opinion. She's
good.
Led me to some great stuff.
That's right. And as she always says,
I can't achieve penetration further back than 1910.
All right, brilliant.
Oh, poor guy.
I know, right? It's Sleepwalking. We'll see you guys tonight for TMSPM and next week for a brand new set of shows. Bye.
Add your favorite sausages,